This is RSV Me Update, episode 544, recorded Thursday, November 26th, 2015, the RuneScape 2-Step. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. Sitting in with myself this week, myself being Shane12088, is Colton.
Hello, that's me.
And Tanis, both from RSBNB Informer.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
I'm doing good, and we got a lot to talk about this week, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
American Thanksgiving, in case anyone's wondering, that's where Reed/Earth is in the middle of traveling somewhere where it's not really conducive to do a podcast, so that's why I got you two here. But we are going to discuss a number of things, including the Mammoth's patch notes and, of course, what everyone's been waiting for this week, the release of the closed beta of RS Chronicle. So, let's begin with the Mammoths. This is the fourth Slayer creature of the Raptors Challenge.
Hooray. Colton? What?
Were you going to say something? I thought I heard you start to chuckle.
It was an unenthusiastic hooray. I mean, that's all I really have to say.
Okay, is that how you feel about the Mammoths?
To be quite honest, I mean, we can go into it in a minute, and I think that the mechanics and everything that they've put in and all the work that they've done with these mobs has been, I think, wasted in a way. But we can discuss that in a moment.
All right. Well, the Mammoths have the most life points out of any of the creatures added into game. 50,000 life points, combat level 135. They are weak to stab. So that gives us none that we range this month, do we? Well, Camel Warriors, I guess.
Yeah, the Mirages.
It's kind of a hybrid, yeah. Okay, so we've been forced to use each side of the combat triangle. Melee once again here. And these are intelligent creatures, so much like the elves, you challenge them to an honorable duel, which means that there's a number of certain things that happen with these guys, and they're probably the most intelligent out of the bunch that we've seen so far. Maybe. What do you guys think?
I think they're tough. I mean, did you say Slayer Mob? Because I thought they were a boss with mechanics and their life. I mean, really, they're tougher than some of the God Wars bosses. So,
interesting.
Slayer creature versus boss. I don't know. I think it's a kind of a quasi mix there, especially with the mechanics. You know,
they're certainly high level mobs and on a completely different level with most pre EOC created monsters. Very unique and challenging.
Well, level 96 Slayer. I mean, when you think about it, at level 85, you have the Abyssal Demons, which, I mean, you can kill in your sleep these days, but they are pre-EOC. Same with Dark Peace. And, I mean, I guess that is the kind of progression we do see on the leveling curve, because we know level 92 is only halfway between 1 and 99. So, with that being said, moving from 90 to 96, that does create a certain level of increase in experience, and therefore, I guess, in this case, increase in difficulty?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Though that's hard to really justify, because aren't, like, stuff like Graphalic Beasts, I think those are 95, which is really close to 96.
Okay.
They are so much easier to kill than these guys. Like, any of these four. Well, like, even the camel mobs, which are arguably the easiest, have a really dangerous mechanic which can kill you in a matter of seconds.
I think that's my biggest... I guess it's the biggest challenge. And, you know, and they planned it to be that way, but it is the mechanics. But I think if you want a comparison of a post-EOC Slayer creature, look at the Calgarian Demons.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and, there you go.
You know, they have a high defense and high HP. I think that's appropriate, but doing the RuneScape two-step, you know, hit this ability, step to the left, hit this ability, step to the right, do this ability, I think that's a little... I think it really kind of pushed the limit to what a Slayer creature is.
You're right. And you say the RuneScape two-step, and that is actually part of the tactic for fighting these, because what you want to do is whenever they're going to use one of their specials, whether it be preparing to do the charge attack or the ranged ice attack, if you just do the two-step left or right, you will evade that attack. And, I mean, when you're dealing with an environment of 100-plus millisecond ping and the game tick rate, once again, that comes up, you do end up with a tedious creature, whereas, you know, if you were just using a WASD, you know, 66 tick per second game, then, you know, you'd have a much easier time.
So, oh, you're exactly right. I was never able to avoid the attack. I mean, and granted, I might have a little bit harder time seeing the tells, but I mean, for the most part, I did, and still couldn't get out of the way in time. Like, I would click, I wouldn't move, bam. And then I'm just getting trampled. I've got a trunk just beating the crap out of me. And I'm like, well, that was fun. Hi, Death. How you doing? It's been a minute.
Well, they also do use a couple of EOC abilities. Smash, Sever, Freedom, and Pulverize. So if you stun them, Freedom goes away. They do massive damage on you with Pulverize and debuff you. Sever, once again, a debuff and standard attack, and just Smash, removing Protection Prayers. So there's that as well going on for us here, which, I mean, I think it was only a matter of time before we got to this place to see Slayer creatures do that, because you're right, this is like a boss.
Yeah, and I know that that was part of the goal of EOC, right? You were going to get these abilities, but the other side of that was you were going to have these really challenging monsters. But I think you hit the nail on the head. When you're dealing with this tick rate, it doesn't work as smoothly as you would want it to.
Yeah.
Because you're just stuck there. You're just standing there going, please move, or please eat. And you may or you may not. You just don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, part of what I've started doing is I've started looking for the lowest ping server whenever I'm doing combat, especially more true with bossing, and even with high-level Slayer like this. You want to make sure you're on less than 100 millisecond ping world, because that's just the best way to compensate for the tick rate. But we mentioned the ranged ice attack, so with this, they pick up a block of ice and throw it at you, and this is where the RuneScape two-step comes in. They also have the charge attack. Now, this one, I was not able to evade. I'm not sure what the cue is for the charge or what to look for, because I know there's a little blue bar that appears, but that just seems to come and go too quick. Sometimes I miss that. So, Tanis, were you able to sort out the charge attack?
No. I mean, if by sort out you mean go head over heels, flying backwards and trampled, yeah, I did it great.
Now, apparently what you can do to mitigate the charge attack is, if you don't want to be running around looking for the bar, whenever it's about to start charging, just activate Devotion, the threshold prayer ability. That gives you 100% protection and protect from melee.
Oh, that is... I didn't think of that.
Yeah, that does it. But, I mean, it's a threshold, and it's one threshold you're not applying to damage the creature, so you got to think, if I'm going to be having food before this, and you know how much time it's going to take me to build up to another threshold, is it worth it? I don't know, but
yeah. And you know, if you were to spend more time on these creatures, if I spent more time with them, I'm sure I would get it down, but learning them is like learning a boss. And I only spent a couple hours messing with them because I just got tired of paying Death and all the food I was going through. I'm like, forget it.
That's the reason we have Slayer block lists, and anybody who doesn't like doing that, you can just put it on a block list and there you go. But they do give good XP when you kill them, so that is perhaps something that you could look forward to, maybe. I think it's on the order of around 3,300 XP for each kill, Slayer.
And that's decent. I'd almost venture to say, gosh, see, there's just balancing problems all over the place. Mm-hmm. Because Aerith's, you know, I mean, look how high Aerith's are and how fast you can kill them. But yet you have these and they're only 33, but yet you couldn't go much more than that, or now you're in, like, you know, General Guard or kind of XP. So, like, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know what to say about them, except, you know, if you want to learn them, it is a challenge and it is fun for that reason. But I didn't think, like, the loot was very good. The
XP, yeah, definitely not for this one, because the only thing you're really getting from this one that you can't get anywhere else is the Raptor Key and the chance for a Tusk to create the Pack Mammoth, which we'll talk about in just a little bit.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, if you guys can't tell, I have not. These two are the only two that have actually gone to fight the Mammoths. And the reason being that I have not gone, I mean, when Wyverns were released, I went there day one, checked them out. I mean, I fought probably 50 of them. I mean, they were interesting, but they were hard, and I didn't really want to learn the mechanics, and the loot was not good. That's just God's honest truth. And then when Rippers came out, I went there day of release. They were okay, but then I heard that lore was coming out, so I stayed there. Camel Mobs, it was the same thing. I fought them on release. Wasn't great loot, but I heard there was lore, so I went there. But there was nothing that made me go to the Mammoths. And honestly, that's kind of, to me, a symptom of a larger problem with this whole month, is that they kind of, they're, all four of these monsters had great new unique mechanics that would have added some great tasks to Slayer, but the problem is they're just not worth it. And the players, although they're fun in a certain capacity, it's not fun dying. If you are weighing having a semi AFK task at Dark Beast that earns you 2-3 mil an hour versus Dark Beast's a great money.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Versus a task at Ripper Demons, which requires 6 more levels that could kill you on the spot very easily and are extremely it requires all your attention. But you're going to get maybe 1 mil an hour. That's if you don't die. You're probably going to get a lot less than that, in all honesty. The weapons are, not only are they not worth much and not the greatest, but they're also so freaking rare that it's really not worth it. So who's going to go there? Like, what's the point? I don't know. I mean, they're enjoyable from a novelty aspect, but I think they really fell flat because they didn't offer enough incentive to go there.
All right.
Yeah, I agree. And I see where Colton's coming from on that. And I'd have to say the Rippers to me were like the coolest out of all of these, because you remember that, what was it? What was that quest?
One piercing note.
And I remembered him from there, but the whole thing. No spoilers. Yeah. But like, I thought that was really cool. And these guys, they could have wrote something about it. I mean, you have this honorable duel thing. There's a lot that you could have done with it.
Yeah, they were going to have an elite version that had penguins on it, and that may have just brought me there. I love penguins. So maybe I would have gone for that, but they kind of nixed that in the view of getting it done on time
and on budget.
Yeah, and these are cool.
Dare I play the Rune Labs card?
Though I don't know, is that really fair? Because I can't blame balancing problems on Rune Labs. I can't. I could blame mechanic problems on them, but the mechanics for these monsters, accepting the fact that the Ripper Demon Shadow mechanic being random is a little annoying instead of spawning on top of you, because I won't get started on that. But the mechanics of all these monsters are good. I'm not gonna lie. I love the mechanics. I prefer them to most of the bosses.
Oh yeah.
I would rather fight them than fight Kriara or fight General Grardor. But it's the loot that makes it hurt. And I understand that people say that you can't just keep pumping more gold into the game. Well, that's just sort of the problems. But because then what do we do with the old? I don't know. Do we try and retrofit all the? Go back to the drop tables that have been redone.
You can't do that.
And nerf them and redistribute the wealth to harder monsters. What do you do? It's or do you just keep putting more gold in on the higher level monsters? I think that even just making them close to stuff like Dark Beast would have been okay. But
in terms of difficulty, or
in terms of wealth gained,
oh,
and
okay.
actual incentive to go.
Right.
Like, even if it wasn't wealth and it was, heck, I don't know, cool invention stuff. Like, I don't know, maybe they could have dropped precursors for
invention.
And
you know, that's something I've been thinking as well. Give us disassembly a month before invention comes out. You gave us farming seeds a month before. Let us start disassembling stuff. You don't need to tell us what they are. Just let us start breaking stuff down.
Which apparently they're going to be doing one of the winter weekends, but that's for another time.
No, that's to catch up on invention after it's released.
Really? What?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a winter weekend in January focusing on invention, but...
I thought that was in December.
No, it's first weekend of January.
Oh, okay.
Anyways.
Alrighty then.
Well, that's one part of the mammoth that, like, they don't drop the weapon. They drop that tusk. We don't really need a pack yak. I think the tier 85s, they made them too rare, number one. But I think that will be the, like, higher... That'll be the high-level attainable weapon that you use for Inventor. Because how many people are going to be breaking down Drygors and stuff like that?
Well, the thing is, they're going to stay expensive, but not... They're going to stay expensive because they're so rarity, and so the supply is so low, but they're going to not stay expensive enough to make them worth it, because the actual use of the weapon is low enough that it's going to keep them around, like, 70 or 80 mil at the best. And it's
which,
like,
weapon are you talking about right now?
Like camel staff and that
kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
don't even get me
staff.
Started on the pack math mammoth, because that's even worse.
Well, I got something for that in just a couple
yeah,
moments.
Yeah, I know. But the weapons, although they will be cheaper than T90s, I don't think it'll be so significantly cheaper that it'll be much more advantageous. I'll just break down Drygors. Heck, Drygors.
Well, exactly. And right that's now. That's where they've messed up, because they shouldn't be this rare. And they had an example. They knew how this would go with the Lava Strikeworm weapons. How many people's run around with them?
Mm.
None.
Nope.
And yet they're still, you know, stupid rare and really expensive.
The problem with the Strikeworm is that it's not accessible content on the same level that the Kalphite King is for Drygors, because that makes the whip a level 85, or is it 90 weapon?
Yeah.
85. Okay. Okay. And
well,
I mean,
if you want to get into... Oh, sorry.
If you put it at tier 85, you got to remember it's competing with the freest weapon in game over time from ports.
Yeah.
Like, I will admit it, that the level 85 ports weapons have become my main weapons in game. And the reason for this is I can recharge them for free with stuff from ports if I want. I can make them for free from ports. And based on the calculations compared to Drygors, it's only a 6% difference in DPS.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if you look at the Seisinger, the Wandanor. I mean, that's a poor man's Seismix. The Deathlotus Stars, that's a poor man's Ascensions. You know, I have no shame. I'll use them too.
Yeah. All right.
Until they come out with level 95s,
You know, if you do that, we're going to be needing another combat rebalance. But let's not get started on combat, because Darkscape is emblematic of why combat is going to be needing another rebalance. But just a couple notes. One correction that I mentioned earlier, these actually give 1,800 Slayer XP per, not 3,300. So 1,800 and a task of 50, you know, it's not really that great for the amount of time and death you need to put into it. So another thing with the mammoths is that there's one really good reason for this update to come into game. You guys know what that is?
Why is that? Penguins?
No. Oh. Any other guesses?
We needed a new beast of burden, damn it.
In just a minute. But on March 31st, 2004, Andrew published a post entitled Upcoming RuneScape Updates. And these were the biggest updates of the year that were supposed to come out, including things like a new Viking area, and including a large frozen area, including penguins, Czech, mammoths, polar bears, and more. So, obviously, we have the polar bears, and we didn't have the mammoths for this time. So, this, I think, completes this list from 2004.
Yeah.
Because also on this list,
11 years. Wow.
The pyramid quest in the desert, barrows, training areas for rangers, lots of new quests, including part 4 of the Plague City line, enchantable rings, more rare weapons and armor, armored boots, more clothing items to give your characters a unique look, special prayer book items which can be wielded in the shield spot, treasure hunt minigames, summoning spells, quest journal, more random events, more pets, special organized game events on holidays, many new monsters such as orcs and lizardmen. But anyways, so I always go back to this post from 2004 to see how we're doing. They also have an in-game version of the board game Chess and Draughts, so yeah.
Better late than never.
I know, right?
Wow. Someone was foreseeing the future.
Yeah, well, I mean, Andrew had this all planned out, and we got there for most of them, and for the longest time, I remember going back to this list. Mammoths are the only thing that aren't here. Wonder when they're coming. Though, do we have orcs and lizardmen?
Lizardmen, I think, morphed into dragonkin.
That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah.
Orcs? I don't think we have.
Well, there's Bork.
Yeah. We do. Wait, we do have orcs. They're followers of Bandos.
Yeah.
They're in God Wars Dungeon. Yeah. And on UBS.
They're the big ones, right?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they're... Yeah.
Oh, and player-owned houses. Each player will be able to have their own unique house, using the carpentry skill to make new and rare things, using the farming skill to grow herbs and plants in the ground of your house. Okay, so that's the one thing that's missing.
Greenhouse. Yeah.
Do you have new room labs?
It was the power to the players that killed it. Ugh.
Oh, that's right. Take the power away. Take it away. You've abused your power.
We players. Just got an aquarium.
Oh, we have diverted.
Yes, so the pack mammoth, the 32 slot beast of burden. This thing's huge. Very big. I have a photo in the notes here comparing it to the size of a jaguar pet. And a person, and you can see how tall this thing towers. It's about 2.5 times the height of your player. So,
but is it bigger than my Shadow Drake? Because I like to block out the sun when I'm running around RuneScape with my Drake. You know,
if only its largeness, its size matched its usefulness.
Oh,
I mean, it's only got 2 more slots than the pack yak.
Yeah, and it's. It's only 3 levels, but the difference between, I mean, you jump from War Tortoise, which is 18, you get a 6 jump from Spirit Terror Bird, because it goes from 12 to 18 from Spirit Terror Bird to War Tortoise, and then a 12 jump from War Tortoise 18 to 30 with the Pack Yak, And not only that, but the Pack Mammoth's scroll is pretty pointless.
Yeah, basically what it does, you use the scroll, and the Pack Mammoth will consume a piece of food and give you the life points.
And it that still drains adrenaline like normal. Don't
what?
Worry, guys.
What?
Yep.
Did I hear that correctly? What? Why not just eat the food?
Precisely.
Like, what? Who thought this was a good idea?
I don't know. Hopefully they change it or make it so it, like, if there was no adrenaline drain or it added some sort of passive effect that helped, like, increase your defense, almost like a Cerebrew, I don't know, that might be good. But at the current state, it is why... Because if you are a normal person, you can just withdraw, eat, real easy.
Yeah, you can put that on keybind too. Take from Beast of Burden and then eat on the action bar. So very quick action indeed. And, I mean, send to bank from the pack yak. That's got to be the most useful thing in certain situations. Oh, yeah. So the pack yak still wins. I think this thing just looks silly. I mean...
This thing is only more useful, I'll give it, in like one-off fights. If you are QBD, if you're fighting Araxor, stuff like that, where you're not going to be banking anything. Like, I mean, in those cases, yeah, 32, it's useful. But then again, if people aren't going to be fighting these mammoths, because going back to this, they're not used. There's really not much point other than for the drop for the pack mammoth, these pouches are going to be pretty expensive. And so is there really a marginal benefit to outweigh the cost differential between a pack yak pouch, which is cheap, and a pack mammoth pouch, which will be relatively pricey? I don't know.
Yeah and
no way.
Let's also remember that you can take these to the Grand Exchange in Perif, and you could basically invade the Grand Exchange with these things, and it would fill the entire area up because they're so huge.
I haven't actually seen one in game, now that I think about it.
Yeah, well, I got a photo here, and I mean...
I see the photo, but it's not the same, you know?
Well, because most people are using their legendary pets anyway. And why do you use your legendary pet? Because you can set what growth you want it to show. So you want a little familiar when you're doing bosses and stuff so you can see what you're doing. I mean, this was developed on a Friday afternoon, I think about 4:45. They probably get off at 5, something like that.
I mean, at least concepted, but I don't know. I think that wraps up all the Slayer creatures and whatnot. And let's just say that the takeaway from Slayer Month and all the Slayer creatures that came out here was that new mechanics, new interesting ways to fight, a couple of interesting lore drops along the way. But overall, for people who are power training Slayer, there's no reason to accept a task of one of these just because they take so long, have such a high chance of death. And you could have the money better spent elsewhere, the opportunity cost.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yep, I agree.
All right, well, let us move on to the patch notes then. A couple of interesting things this week, starting off with an increase of the range of the Wyvern crossbow to 9 tiles away. So that's pretty long range. Does anyone know what it was before?
I guess 7 or 8, but I'm not entirely sure.
All right.
I'm not rich enough to have bought one and tried it out, so I don't know.
Anyone have any idea, like, to compare that to other weapons? How many of other weapons?
And see, that's the problem. These crossbows don't exactly have the range listed. I mean, back in the olden days, we knew something was a longbow. It would be a longbow. You'd shoot it from long distance, hence the name, the longbow.
Huh. So. I'm trying to look for... No, I can't find anything on the Noxious Longbow, because I know that's the main been, I think the Noxious Longbow is like 10 or 11.
Yeah, that's the longest range weapon.
Yeah, that's why it's so useful. But I guess that helps with the Wyvern Crossbow's usefulness. I mean, it's still not going to help it that much, but hey, it's something.
Going for 34 mil.
Yeah, really? Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just GE or?
That's just GE. I don't know what the actual number is. Huh. I would say it's probably a slow mover. Yeah.
Yeah.
But continue.
Yeah. One of the other big fixes was that each Raptor key part is now guaranteed a loot beam when it's dropped, which people have been shouting and asking for on the forums and on Reddit since the first Slayer mobs were released, so that's nice. Also, thank goodness, the Ugthanatos can now be gained from Camel Warriors while not on a Slayer or Raptor task, which I was very happy about because I used all my Slayer points trying to get a Camel task to no avail, using VIP tickets the whole time.
And, oh, no.
Well, I didn't consume any of my VIP tickets. I just kept going through and canceling and canceling and canceling and canceling. And never got Camel Warriors, but thankfully they added it to the off-task list and got it in about 20 kills. I think it's a 1 in 25 drop rate, which is much kinder than the Ripper Demon Journals. So those who are going for the Questmaster Cape can breathe a sigh of relief at that one at least.
And let's not forget that the Rippers are probably the dangerous one out of this month, so.
Yes.
All right. Also, all Treasure Hunter Slayer masks are now hybrid. I'm guessing they were all before, if I remember correctly. Not sure.
I think several were melee. Like, oh, okay. They were specific, I remember.
Yeah, well,
like
they should be hybrid.
The Abyssal Demon one. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see a need for hybrid armor. I think that you should follow the combat triangle for the best results in terms of combat. Though there are some of these Slayer creatures this past month that encourage people to do otherwise, such as the Wyverns, apparently are easiest in melee distance, which is very odd.
Really? I've heard that the best method for them is with a shield and doing mage with a seismic wand, no less. But
yeah, a lot of people I know are they melee.
Huh. Yeah, they use dry gores, and I think it prevents the range attack, right?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Anyhow. Fully broken Tetsu Katanas, Tetsu Wakizashis, Sea Singer Kibas and Sea Singer Maki guys no longer disconnect the player when attempting to repair them using plate or chi. I never had that problem.
Yeah, this is something that we've been seeing more and more when there's an item created in-game that doesn't have the right references set up. Basically causes a disconnect. We had it with potions a few weeks back, and the last 2 weeks, they took a kick at the can and trying to fix Broken Home. When people were peering into the holes, they would somehow disconnect. So, interesting stuff going on behind the scenes there.
No doubt.
Do you watch anime?
No.
Oh, it sounded like you had those names down quite a bit, and it sounded like you were saying them as if they were from an anime TV series.
Oh, I've heard people say them who know how to say them, so I don't know. I just like how they sound. I don't know why.
Yeah, just like Beastmaster Dirzeg is German and Yakumaru is Japanese, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. It's now possible to purchase XP in bulk, bonus XP, from the Stealing Creation Reward Shop. XP rates are the same as the Proto Tools, so it's just bonus XP now. You don't need to purchase the tool and add it onto your character.
Which was kind of an unnecessary step before it was.
Yeah, well, you got to remember these came in before the bonus XP system, and you used to have to actually do construction with the hammers and whatnot. So,
yeah,
that was
it's a good
case.
Quality of life fix, I think.
Yeah,
just makes it feel. Yeah, more
I mean, for people that do Stealing Creation, you know, I guess you'd probably be a little bit lower leveled, but
Stealing creation is actually really good for bonus XP, especially when it's on spotlight.
Yeah, and the best way to do stealing creation is to actually go to a friend's chat that does it without combat.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so Mystic Armor now requires 50 defense, and it was previously 30. And Batwing Armor now requires 30, and it was 50. Isn't that the way it was in Darkscape?
I think so.
I thought it was switched around. Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yeah,
that's interesting. That has been ported over, basically.
It makes sense because
because
the Batwing is
a lot
crafted
harder to get.
And Mystic, of course, comes from Slayer, which back in the day, that used to be one of the best ways of making money was getting the drops. And I mean, I think the yellow one was the rarest way back when. So there were all those things that you could get. And hopefully this will breathe some new life into these items. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, and it's still not like bad money or anything, but... and Mystic Armor is also no longer a member's item, and it will require the completion of Dragon Slayer, though, and I believe that's to wear the top part of the robe?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense, because when you complete Dragon Slayer, you are given the ability of wearing the Rune Plate body, so might as well have something magic-related, too, right?
Yes, and I know that was the case in Darkscape for sure, because I tried to skirt around that and get a Mystic top and I couldn't equip it until I did Dragon Slayer. So let's see. And ready, play the funeral dredge, because HTML5 is RIP. It's HTML5.
Oh no, that poor thing. I just feel bad for the people who worked on it, you know?
Well, I mean, it provided them an insight into how to do the C++ client that's coming. And it was expected.
I won't believe it until I see it.
Well, it was at RuneFest.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
It was, but they showed it on video.
I just want to play it myself.
I know, me too. And, I mean, would have been such a groundbreaking thing to see something like this happen and come out and be successful, but you know, the stars just didn't align with the way the browser manufacturers were going. And I mean, you can even tell based on what Google's done. And I say what Google's done, and with that I mean that they have said that they're moving their Chromebooks over to Android, which, rather than running Chrome, the browser that we all use, Android is going to be much more capable than Google Chrome is, so that's just the way the ball bounces, I guess.
Yeah.
But they also did... Whoa, I just opened some tabs up here that I didn't need. But anyways, one thing they also did with this is they removed the links on the webpage to it. I haven't checked to see if they are actually still able to be loaded, because I don't think that they want to have that around.
Didn't they get rid of the bestiary as well?
Yes, they did. And that was the other part of HTML5 that went away, which, I mean... I can see that. But that thing was nice. I mean, you could set up a green screen if you wanted with that. And you could look at all the creatures and set up, a photo shoot with the Queen Black Dragon or something like that. So that's unfortunate.
Do you think they'll try and do something like that with C++ or?
Well, no, they can't do that in the browser as of yet with that. Oh. So we might see it come after the NXT client, but definitely not before. Because the way this works, for anyone who might be wondering behind the scenes, is that you basically, if you wanted to run something like a C++-based client in the browser, you can do that So it just injects that code into it and acts as what's called the native client. It's actually part of Google Chrome. So we'll have to see where that goes. But I don't think they would be doing that for RS. If anything, it would just act as a launcher. So, but we'll have to wait and see. That's just me hypothesizing at this point. But yeah, HTML5 is gone.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. But one thing that still does exist is the character page, where you can see your character in HTML5. Which, I mean, okay. That's good, right?
Yeah. I guess. I mean, I wonder if it'll stay there for long, or I don't know.
I don't know. I kind of hope it does, because it's neat and it's useful in more ways than one.
Yeah. So,
but I won't say too much more on that. Yeah, I wonder if that character page is going to be going away. I hope not. I'm just looking at my character right now with the 120 farming cape and the walk emote. Because you can also change the color of that page, too.
Yeah. So pretty.
Yeah? There you go. Anyways, that's in the adventurer's log. All right. Enough distracting myself. Okay. Right. So, moving on. Thanksgiving event this year. Same thing as the previous years. You can hunt turkeys around RuneScape. There's 10 in the free-to-play areas and 10 in the members areas for 20 total. This year you get the drumstick weapon overrides plus any other titles or rewards that you might have missed from previous years. So that includes the turkey emote, the herald cape crest, and the Thanksgiver title. And if you get all 20, you also get the Macker's Pet, which apparently came out last year, but I didn't know such a thing existed. Turkey.
Yeah? Did you not do last year's event, Shane?
Well, I did. I did. It's just I had no idea I got a pet for it.
Yeah, since we don't get items as pets anymore, we get overrides in our little pet interface.
Yes. You guys want to hear something? You guys want to hear something?
Sure.
You know, in a Russian Thanksgiving, you know what happens?
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Here it comes.
No.
The turkey shoots you.
Woo!
I just...
Drinching.
Yeah.
Just had to be thrown in there after this week's events, right?
Oh, exactly. Oh, how appropriate.
Yes, right.
Oh, my. Very funny, Shane.
But, of course, what also comes with the American Thanksgiving is Black Friday. So there is actually some Black Friday deals this weekend on RS in Solomon's General Store, starting on the 27th at midnight UTC, which is evening for the Americans. There will be three fantastic items, including pets, outfit packs, and services. They're all going to be on sale for one day each until Monday the 1st. So I guess if you have some excess rune coins, now would be the time to spend them, perhaps?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I may get me, because I still haven't gotten a legendary pet, but I really should because they're so awesome. So maybe I'll
really
try
need to get one. You really need one. What are you waiting for?
I've been resisting getting
Black
myself
Friday,
one
of
those
of
too. oh, but wait.
Guys, buy a bond. Get your pets.
I will.
You can also check out the merch store. There's going to be some merch store deals on Friday. A hat, perhaps, maybe.
Do they have anything other than just the god hats?
Well, let's see what they got here. Sweatshirts. They got a Gnome Child sweatshirt. You can buy a felt green party hat for $9.99. A Law Rune t-shirt. A Death Rune t-shirt. Herblore level up t-shirt. Though people might think you're sporting something else with that. yeah, that's pretty much it. health bar cap. Yeah, there's not really too much here. There's a RuneScape varsity jacket.
I have a RuneScape sweatshirt that I got for Christmas last year, and then a level 99 shirt that I got, I think, for Father's Day. And the sweatshirt is like really heavy duty. It's really well made. So they're kind of expensive, but they're totally worth it. They're really nice. Yeah. Like the stuff is really nice when you get it.
The Gnome Child Christmas shirt is $49.99 Canadian. And you know, just looks like one of those typical Christmas shirts.
Okay, the shirt or the sweatshirt is $49.99 Canadian.
The sweatshirt.
Okay, because it is $39.99 USD. You guys are getting kind of shanked there. At least a little bit on this exchange rate.
All right. Also this weekend.
If it were textured, I might be into it.
If it were textured. Really?
Yeah, I like the really cheesy with like the the extra like stuff that's sticking out. It's got.
I
be
mean,
a
you could probably make one of these yourself.
That's probably true. I could. Yeah.
Hey, there's an idea for a craft project. Go ahead.
Colton wants real antlers on his damn reindeer.
Oh man, I've got this great one with a teddy bear, and it's got like bells that stick off the front.
Oh my
It's great. It's
fun. Oh my god.
Do you not do that in Canada, Shane?
Well, certain people do, but I don't.
Oh, well, it's fun.
So your bells are dingling and jingling around.
Yeah, I mean if I really want to shake it, I guess.
That's too good.
Hey, you get a free dragon dagger when you spend $50, 50 pounds, or 50 euros.
Whoa, what?
They don't have a picture of it, but it looks very pixelated.
Yeah. Is it just like cardboard, or?
I don't know.
We get so the great deal on that. That's awesome. Man. That's interesting.
All right. Well,
for a real dagger, I'd be interested.
It's probably an in-game dragon dagger.
Here's your 16K. Yeah.
It's always interesting taking a trip to the store. Anyways, Treasure Hunter. Also this weekend, as part of the, I guess you could group it in with Black Friday, there's an increased chance of getting rare items. Our rare item tokens on Treasure Hunter, and all current rares will be discounted by a measly 10%.
Hooray.
Yay. I can finally get my super coins now.
300, that works, so. All right.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, let's move on to what everyone's been waiting for, shall we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
RuneScape Chronicle closed beta. So this was first announced at RuneFest 14. For anyone who's been hiding under a rock or is not aware of us, it is RuneScape's strategic card game that has been compared a lot out of the gate to Hearthstone, which is the same product. Well, not the same product, but the same product category made by Blizzard.
Genre.
Yeah. And this involves the RuneScape characters, at least some of them that we know, Ariane, the Raptor, Linza, and Ozan. Currently on Windows only and closed beta via an invite key. So, we got Chronicle access this week, all of us. So, what are we thinking going forward here? I
love it.
Well, okay. So that's your initial impression.
Yeah, no, I think it's... I mean, first of all, I just want to say from a graphical perspective, they knocked it out of the park. I think just looking at it is gorgeous. If you have it on high detail, it's beautiful to look at. The animations of each chapter that rising up, and I think they just nailed the graphic aspect of it. And the animations of each card are simple yet charming, in my opinion. And I think they just, I think they did a great job, and they really outdid themselves with the graphical budget that they had. In terms of the gameplay, there obviously it's a beta. There are some cards that are arguably overpowered, and I don't. Have you guys tried to play it in full screen?
Yeah, it works good.
No.
Why?
I've tried to. I don't know why, but whenever I try to put it in full screen, it won't let me click like to put in my password or anything like that, so I can't play in full screen. I don't know why. Maybe that's just me, but anyhow, I mean,
it sounds like you might be running something on your computer that might be interfering with it.
That could be, but regardless, the actual gameplay is enjoyable. Honestly, it's a bit addicting. And
oh yeah, definitely agree with that.
Yeah, once you start winning, it's like, oh man, I just want to keep beating people. And it's good, especially even for a beta, like with the limited amount of people you have online. I don't know. I think they've got potential here, and it's different from other card games to my knowledge. I've not personally played them, but I've heard that this is definitely different from Hearthstone and other card games of its type. So I don't know. I think there's more potential here than there was with Transformers Universe and that kind of stuff.
All right.
Yeah,
how about you, Tennis?
I have to. I loved it. It's fun. This is a hallmark of a good game. If you can repeatedly get your ass kicked and keep coming back for more and take another ass whooping and then come back for more and still want to play, that's a good game. Uh-huh. I say that because I've yet to win. I'm still playing and I still love it. And Colton's right. The graphics are amazing. It does look really nice. The only like thing I think that could maybe be improved upon, and I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying here it's a closed beta. Here's an area that you could improve upon. I would like to see more out of the character animations. I think everything else is really nice, but you know, I've seen more than a few times where your little character just kind of leans forward on its like bottom, and I'm like, oh, come on, guys, you can do a little bit better than that. You know, I mean, it's charming, but
To me, it kind of looks like, I don't know, like if you've ever played those like board games with like the figures, like the strategy board games, and it's the little figures on their base and you just kind of lean them over to simulate them attacking each other. I just thought that was like, it's almost like it's a tabletop game, but it's not. That's kind of why I find it interesting, but I understand it's a little simplistic.
If you look at the trailer for it, you will see that it is being played on a tabletop by the heroes that you're playing. So, yeah, in a book on a table. So,
I didn't even connect that. Duh. Okay. We'll go with the charm. I want the big budget special effects, but the charm is nice. The charm.
Well,
is
we
nice.
Got that. I mean, compared to RS graphics wise,
Oh yes, this is a completely, it's just a good game, and there aren't these kind of card games out there, because most of what I've seen and just watching different streams, you're facing that opponent, but this, it's like,
it's almost indirect.
Yes,
you don't face them until the end. You're just sort of going on the same journey, but kind of taking jabs at each other while building up your own character.
Well, and that's a strategy, you know. Do you try to, you know, annoy the hell out of your opponent, or try to take some pod shots at them and get their health down, or do you focus on you? Do you get your attacks up? Do you get your gold ready? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you focus on building yourself up? Like,
that's actually where I've had the most success, is when I build up the gold and the attacks and whatnot going forward.
It's so fun to strategize about that. Like, I'm still trying to figure it out, and I'm still trying to figure out which legend I want. I'm glad finally they have a purpose, because I don't know what their purpose was in RS, but they have a purpose here, and I'm glad to give them some breathe some life into our RuneScape heroes.
Agreed.
Yeah, and I mean, also I gave some beta keys out. One of them was to Dave. He's been on the show before. Just some of his words here. He's an avid Hearthstone player. Casual end of competitive. So he's not casual, but he's not full on competitive, but he's almost competitive. Chronicle has what it's own to hold its own in the collectible card game genre. It has all the elements of a collectible card game genre that have been proven to work in established titles, but is successful in creating fresh elements as well. One of them is it's the fastest paced card games I've played. I believe that's mostly because it's built on an action reaction model. Multiple cards are played in order unbeknownst to the opponent, usually three or four at a time, instead of each person taking turns playing cards based on what the other person has played. While this streamlines playing time, it also creates an entirely new facet of strategy to the match, and deck building for that matter. One could choose to stock up on gold and invest in a powerful weapon during the first and second round, and then focus on striking the opponent down later. However, chipping away at the opponent's health early on could prove to be tactful, while letting the enemies do some of the dirty work along the way. Depending on whichever approach is considered, the deck is going to need to be built to satisfy it. Most collectible card games match wins are determined by 50% deck building, 25% RNG, and 25% player skill. As I mentioned before, Chronicle eliminates a decent chunk of the reactive element, so even more the player's success rate is going to lie within building the deck in their favor, since the only deck building restriction is the minimum of 30 cards. The combinations and builds are going to be virtually endless. Overall, I think Chronicle has much more promise than I initially gave it credit for during the announcements, teasers, and even during the tutorial. I'm also surprised and impressed by the twist it added to the genre while still remaining competitive. I hope it's able to foster a solid competitive scene inside and outside of the RuneScape community. It's always nice to see fresh faces in established genres, and I think Chronicle is the face we all wanted to see. That's from Dave.
I think he hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. And I hope he's right about not just appealing to RuneScape players.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the only question mark I have with the game. The game is great. I love it. But will other people find this game and be like, oh, cool? Like, I think they will if they try, if they're into the strategy card games, but...
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, you just met four people. Ariane the Raptor, Linza, and Ozan. Nothing about RuneScape lore or RuneScape skills or anything like that. So, I think it can.
And that, I think, will make it successful.
Because, let's face it, Jagex needs a success. Outside of RuneScape.
Yeah, they do. After the financial disaster that was Transformers Universe, they need something to help pick them up a bit.
Yes, because they want to, you know, not just be developing RuneScape, which is, of course, what the listener of this podcast do play, but as a game studio, they need to be looking 5-10 years down the line as to what they can be focusing on in case RuneScape ever falls out of favor. As does genres all the time.
Sorry, Shane. I was going to say, and get this game on Steam. Get it on Steam.
Yep, that would be good.
You're going to catch so many eyes. You know what I mean? You're just going to catch so many more eyes that may never even have heard RuneScape.
Now, do you guys think this is going to be a subscription model separate to RuneScape? Do you think it'll be a subscription model, or will it be a one-time payment? How do you guys... Will it be freemium? I'm wondering how they're going to go about paying.
I think they'll go freemium or microtransactions, because there's already a section in there for buying cards and whatnot
boosters
that you can buy with your in-game currency, and that could easily be expanded to out-of-game currency as well.
And I noticed that right away. And so I've, like, on the, you know, 2 or 3 weeks since I've kind of been on a RuneScape break. I've been playing a lot of different games. A lot of these, I never heard that term freemium, but I've been playing games like that. And that was one thing that was a big caution flag to me, was like, this has the potential that they could make pay to win a thing. You know, if you're putting in these really good cards and they're costing real money, that I am leery about. And I don't think they will.
As
long as they're still achievable realistically in game, I think it's okay. Just like it is in, I mean, RuneScape, with the best Treasure Hunter promos are the ones that if you play your cards right, you can get them without buying any keys. Is it easier by buying keys? Yeah. Does it take less time buying keys? Yeah. But do you need to? Probably not. So I think that's the way that it's just a balancing act, really.
If Jagex were a pay-to-win company, we'd have seen it by now.
Yeah.
And I mean, in that, like, that would be great. If they make it so that, you know, it's time versus ease of access kind of thing, I'm cool with that. I was just afraid of, like, you know, this really great card, but this pack, you know, it's going to cost you. And so that was what I was worried about. Not to say that there was any, not that I think that is, like, going to happen for sure, but it was just something that I thought, I'm going to keep my eye on, because it just, you know, that's the stuff you watch out for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there's enough of the initial opinion. So let's talk a bit about how the game works. So you log in, you create an account using your email address, and you set up a display name. It's separate than your RuneScape name right now. That remains to be seen if that'll be the case going forward. But anyways, after you do that, you follow a tutorial. You learn a bit how the user interface works. Then you get the ability to get thrown straight into a game. And the game starts by giving you an opening hand of six cards. And you can choose, you know, some to throw away if you don't like them. And you get fresh cards instead.
Seven if you go second. You get an extra card if you mark the one who goes first.
Ah, fascinating.
I didn't realize that.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. Which is a blessing and a curse, because at the end you're also the second one to strike in the final battle, but you do get an extra card. So, yeah, I prefer being first, but you do get an advantage to being second.
All right. So then once you get your cards all set up, it's just a matter of choosing what you're going to play. There's a number of icons at the bottom of your screen, including weapon strength and weapon durability, your attack strength, which is the one with the flame icon, the amount of gold that you have right now, your health, and any armor that you might have. And the way these work is your weapon strength influences your attack damage, so that's how hard you hit. Pretty simple. And each time you use a hit, your weapon durability goes down. Then once it hits zero, that weapon disappears. So you pick up a good weapon early on, you don't get to keep it for the entire game. You only get to use it for as many swipes as it says. Then you can pick up little boosts or bonuses, I guess, by killing various creatures, which are all on the cards. And this is where the card comes in. There's two types of cards. There's a card where you have to kill something, or there's a special card that does something. So the special cards...
Support cards.
Yeah, the support cards. There you go. The cards where you kill something, they have a certain amount of life points to them, and when they're dead, you get whatever's at the bottom of the card, whether it be 2 gold, 3 gold, an increase to your damage, or maybe some health, something like that. So that means you kill them and you get the reward. Pretty simple. And then you use the gold, and then you can play the support cards. Support cards have cost ranging all the way from 0 gold up to, I think, 8. Is that the highest?
There's a rare card that's 9, but that no one has that yet, to my knowledge.
Okay.
It's
and
the
then,
death card.
Okay. So you spend the gold, and then you just move through the stage as you normally would in any kind of card game. And as we mentioned previously, you lay out all four of your cards before the stage begins. So you just put them out, press go, game carries on. And then at the end, if you're still standing, you move on to a new phase and repeat it up to five times. And after the fifth time, if you two are still standing, you'll battle it out with however much life you have left and whatever kind of armor statistics you have. And then you may emerge victorious or you may not.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
obviously,
I don't. Do you guys know how like the final fight works out?
It's just a back and forth hack and slash. It goes off of your damage, any weapons you have at the time, and it goes in order. First person, the person who rolled first to start the game will attack first, then the next person attacks, and back and forth until one of them runs out of health, and then that is the end.
Okay, because I've had more health than my opponent, and it's always when it's Raptor. He does this thing, and I'm dead. I'm just like, bam, that's it.
Oh, I mean, you always get, each hero has kind of a cool animation when they do their killing blow. Like, Raptor kind of, like, spins around you and, like, swings his flail a little bit, and then you die. That's kind of how, yeah, so he... That basically just means that, I mean, if you started with more health, it's probably because you go second, and that's the disadvantage to going second, because if you enter the fight with the same health, or even a little bit higher, but you have the same attack, the person who goes first will win, because they'll have an extra turn on you.
Oh, that's it. Okay, yeah. I get it now. Okay, cool.
It took me a while.
And see, this is the... This is the random aspect coming in that, I mean, if you don't like randomness, this game's probably not for you, right?
I mean, there's some randomness. I mean, as players of RuneScape, we encounter RNG on a daily basis, but I don't know. I mean, some of it, like the cards that you get from your deck can sometimes be infuriating. Like if you have no cards and all you have are support cards,
yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if you're opening packs and you don't get any good cards that you really want, I mean, that can be infuriating. But I think you, in this game, RNG does have a good amount to do with how you do, but skill also does. So I think I think it's fairly balanced. And again, it's a beta. So some of this might change.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I don't feel too frustrated with the...
Go ahead, Tennis.
I was saying I don't feel too frustrated with the RNG. I mean, I got a little frustrated like with that in battle because I didn't understand how it was working. But for the most part, it didn't seem too bad to me.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. And, you know, one thing that made it a lot easier for me to start winning, even against the AI, I haven't taken it online yet because I have a general thing that if I can't win against the AI, it's not a good idea to go online. So, need to start winning a couple times against the AI for me before I go online. But one thing that really helped me was the deck building. In that you don't use the default deck that you're given. So this is in, basically, I forget what the menu is, but, you go into one of these menu options.
My collection, I think.
Yeah, my collection. That's it. And you choose what your deck is going to be. Minimum of 30 cards, maximum of 50. And you want to make sure that you have a good number of gold giving cards, good number of cards that give you health, and a good number of cards that allow you to, build up your attack strength. So you can, play them as you see fit. Now, each game is going to be completely different depending who you're playing on, so that's where the strategy comes in. Now, a question I have for you guys. I've been playing as Ariane. Is there any major difference between the four heroes?
Well, they do get unique cards, especially as you level up. They get unique enemies and unique support cards that they can add to their decks, so you're going to want a different deck for each build. In terms of the raw stats, no. It's just how you typically will go about playing the game, like with my favorite, and a lot of people will call it easy mode, but I love playing with the Raptor, just because I like being, you can, a lot of his support cards and a lot of his enemies that are specific to him give him armor and things like that, yeah. Whereas Linz's,
well, he is the tank.
Is the, yes, which makes sense. And whereas Linza, her support cards are like, they buff her weapon, they increase the life of her weapon, that kind of thing, which makes sense with the smithing. And the four characters really, their support, their character-specific cards really define how the play style influences the character.
Yeah, like Ozan, I tried him a few times, and it was like all about the gold. I'm like, wow, I got so much gold. This is great.
Well,
and I haven't even built a deck yet. Right, and I haven't even built a deck. You know, I was just trying with whatever they gave me. And so, like,
yeah,
I haven't zeroed in on a legend yet that was, like, my go-to person. Because I wanted to, you know, get a feel for all of them.
Yeah.
I think I drew the short end of the stick then with Ariane, because there's very little armor in Ariane's deck, I found.
Yeah.
Earthstrike will hurt.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Because Ariane, if you're not careful, and if you're going up against Ariane and you keep lower health, she can, like, I was playing earlier today against someone who was Ariane, and I was at like 18 health to start.
Oh, the card that does damage based on how many in your hand?
Oh, gosh. I got absolutely destroyed. Like, she took me all 18 out in 3 turns.
Yep.
And I was done. It was like, well, that kind of sucks. So, I don't know. She can be dangerous. I don't know. You may just have to go for the jugular quick with her if you get the right cards, but.
Yeah,
because
it seems like it's hard to defend. Yeah. And, I mean, I'm level 5, so I don't know where the cards start coming in with that based on levels.
It comes gradually. Like,
okay.
Because, and what they did and what I really like, As you level up a specific character, because I'm at level 12 with Raptor, but as you level up with that specific character, I'm still level 1 with all 3 others, but I have the cards for up to level 12 for all the other characters. So if I want to pick up another character, I can quickly catch up to my highest character.
That's
so
good.
So you don't have to distribute your progress in order to get all the cards. Which is kind of nice.
All right. So overall, I think we're enjoying ourselves with Chronicle. There's a bit of it's kind of hard to explain to someone how this game works if you've never played a card game like this before, right? So.
Yeah. You just got to get stuck in, you know?
Yeah. And it's a great time waster. Like Tana said, if you keep losing and you keep wanting to try and learning, then, well, you got a good game. So that is indeed what Chronicle is. I haven't encountered many bugs, which is good. So they got that going for them.
Yeah.
Just a couple of usability things here and there. With the way the game launches and whatnot, but this thing is going to become even more addictive once it gets put on tablets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no kidding. Yeah, I was picking up, almost ready to, like, I don't know, I was looking at my iPad earlier, like, oh man, I would just love to, you know, just take that around with me. A couple small things that I think they could work on. Obviously, there are some balancing issues with cost of cards versus how powerful they are. But one thing is chat options. Like, all we get in order, like, in terms of actual... And I don't know, maybe it's a good thing because you can't flame, like, your opponent. So there really can't be any much griefing, if you know what I mean. Because there's no chat system except for you can click on your adventurer... And you can say, like, and it's like taunt, silly, praise, thanks, sorry, that kind of stuff. And it's always just your character has one specific phrase they'll say for each of those selections, and that's it. And so there's really no interaction
with
the other player.
You know, that's good, because you remember this has to be able to go on an iPad, and you don't want to, you know, be pulling up the keyboard in the middle of a game for that. So
yeah, that's a good point. But I still, especially with, like, a friend's chat channel, like being able to talk with your friends, if especially if you are on the PC, you don't have to, but you could. I don't know. I think it would be nice personally, because I'd like to actually talk to people and ask people in game, like, how they did that, or, you know, but I can't. I don't know. That's just me personally.
All right. Yeah, aside from usability niggles and whatnot that'll eventually get fixed, I really have no complaints about it. And this is my first card game, so I have no basis of comparison. I'm overall happy with it. Potential areas of expansion aside from, you know, the tablet, like I mentioned twice already, I would say to have some kind of connection, a deeper connection between Chronicle and RuneScape in terms of, oh, maybe getting cosmetic items on RS if you reach a certain stage on Chronicle, but nothing game-breaking that players who don't play Chronicle won't be hurt, if you know what I mean. So,
or don't play RuneScape.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
so
no.
Something
no.
like that.
Yeah,
nice
I get
to see
what you
going
mean.
Forward.
Never mind. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, see, cosmetics would be cool. I could see it now. Give me the Chronicle book so I can walk around in my offhand. You know, that kind of stuff, that would be cool.
That would be neat.
Agreed. Yeah, and, I mean, that might be breaking the fourth wall, but who cares?
Come on, they had a book of, they had a book of faces. Come on. Is that not breaking the fourth wall? for the 1 million Facebook likes.
Oh, dear.
I don't know.
Yeah.
They can do it again. They've done it with Game Blast, so. Yeah.
Chrome goggles.
I don't think they want them too much. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So we'll definitely be paying attention to this now that it's been closed beta released. I think that's about it for Chronicle, unless you guys want to see your favorite card.
Favorite card?
Yeah, you guys don't have a favorite card yet?
KGP Penguin, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, that was mine. That was what I was going to say.
Easy to kill and gives me an extra attack. I mean, that's great.
Okay. I was going to say Lady Heffin heals you based on the size of your deck.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I healed 16 once from that.
Whoa.
As Ariane.
Pretty big deck.
Mm-hmm.
That must be an Ariane specific. I have not yet played as Ariane, so I have not
it
ever
is.
Got that card.
It is.
Interesting.
All right. Well, that's at rschronicle.com, and of course, maybe we'll put out this section of the podcast in a limited variety for anyone who just wants to hear about Chronicle, since, well, Chronicle is its own game.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie. So, moving on, we got a couple listener questions this week. I'll take the first one, and that is from LePro. So LePro says, the mammoths are some darn giant creatures. Has Jagex ever made anything bigger? I'm surprised they didn't make any Hoth references. Hoth?
That's a ice planet on Star Wars, Shane.
Yeah, but I don't remember any mammoths there.
No.
There?
No, not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all the Imperial stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, you guys done discussing Star Wars?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, okay, at least till the movie comes out, then I'll come back.
Ooh, I'm excited for that.
Bigger than the mammoth, so Jad is pretty big. Virago.
Virago, baby.
Yep.
Yeah.
Queen Black Dragon, you can only see the head of the Queen Black Dragon, and that's what you fight. So presumably the rest of the Queen Black Dragon is hidden underneath the water or wherever that is. So,
Wasn't there like a size chart at some point of like each monster comparing size, and
yeah,
obviously
Tuska
was the biggest.
Oh
yeah, it was during the world event. I remember now, because Tuska was easily the biggest. So technically, Tuska, even though it wasn't a fully developed character model. So
I don't know. My Shadow Drake's pretty big.
That's true.
Yeah, it did crash down, didn't it?
Hella small.
Tuska. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Tuska crashed in the water east of Alcarid. I mean, west of Alcarid, sorry. So you'll want to check that out. Well, the Alcarid Desert. So there are definitely bigger things than the mammoths out there. And, I mean, there needs to be certain attention taken when something very large like this is created, because if you make something so big that you can't see the health bar, you don't know when it's going to die. So that's why you have, you know, special health bars for Virago and the Queen Black Dragon, because they're so big that you cannot see the normal health bar. So that helps out along the way. Though I've never fought Virago, so I don't know how large that is. If I remember correctly, the player is about the size of a half of its leg, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, couldn't tell you.
Okay, you guys have never gone to Virago either then?
No. Mm-mm. No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, that's about right. It's about the size of up to what looks like its knee. So, that's Virago. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, LePro, for that question. But yes, there are bigger things. Next one.
This question, actually a pair of questions here from Titus. One, which of the winter weekends are you hyped for? For me, on my Iron Man, I'm mostly hyped for the double pyramid plunder rewards and pest control rewards. On my main, I'm not sure yet. Most likely the Slayer weekend, so I can get a stack of Slayer points. Huh.
Hmm.
Personally, I'm most looking forward to the Dungeoneering weekend, because I am currently sitting at 116 with 4 million experience left to get to the 117 that is necessary for the Questmaster Cape, so it won't take me long.
Oh my
to,
God.
What?
Just never the, mind. It's the level.
You don't. I know you don't want to get it.
I do not want to get it.
I know. I know. It's worth it, though. But yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. So I'll finally have that level, and I will no longer need to get any more levels for that cape. I'll need to get some other things, but that's neither here nor there. So that is what I am excited for. What about you guys?
I would have to say the Dungeoneering one, too, just because nothing else really... I'm not really excited about anything else. And Dunge, I still need to get that 120. And the only problem is, like, all of my friends are either 200 mil or 120s already. So, and I don't do random groups, so it might be challenging.
Kind of hard.
Yeah. World 77 can be a pain, but eh.
Well, we, us three need to get our dunge up, right? So maybe we can.
I'll be leaving you guys in the dust. I mean, once set 117's there, bye bye.
I'll get there when I get there, but the Dungeoneering weekend is pretty nice. I mean, also, base sinkhole lamp increased by 50%, so that helps, as well as double tokens from Dungeoneering and sinkholes. So that's definitely a good one. I mean, it depends on what skills you need, and for me, I have 99 summoning, so if I didn't, it would have been the charm drop increase from the bossing and Slayer weekend, so that's there. Double points for Slayer XP. Okay, we just had an entire month of Raptor double XP, so I don't know.
Eh. Mm. So, second question is, what's your opinion on the episodic nature of the Christmas quest? Will you do it as they come out, or wait until the end to complete them? I love it. It's awesome. It's like this month was Slayer month and was personally lackluster. And next month is basically holiday slash quest month, which it couldn't get much better. So I'm excited. I'm going to be doing them as they come out because I am impatient and don't like to wait.
Yeah, totally agree with you there. I'll be doing them as they come out as well, mainly, of course, because of the podcast. But also, I mean, they're designed to be episodic, so waiting until the end, I mean, just it's just going to be waiting for too long, if you know what I mean. And plus, then we won't get to talk about it on the show. So, definitely, they come out. And I think that this is an important step in the evolution of questing in RuneScape, because we have not had episodic quests come out before that have been released on a guaranteed timetable like this. So if they can do this and make it interesting along the way, it's definitely going to shape things up going forward for other quest releases, which is going to be really good because it allows you to do some really interesting things with story development, I think. Whereas you have an entire arc to do a quest rather than just the one single quest. And I know, I mean, you can say, okay, so if you're going to give us all these episodic quests split up, why not, you know, just release one large quest at the end of the month? Well, everyone knows that if you split things into smaller segments, it's often easier for people to work through them and play through them without having to worry about how easy or how hard it's going to be. So I think it's good. How about you, Canis?
I'm mixed. I'm really torn on it because I kind of see two sides to it. Like, on one hand, I hate anything that feels like chores in RuneScape. Don't give me another weekly. Not that part, I don't know if I'm personally in love with that. And then one of the questions I have is, do you lose your cape if you don't do that episode that week? Or will it be upon completion, not completing the whole thing? That I have a question about. On the other hand, I like what it could do for the future of storytelling and giving us the kind of quest that we want. I want the really big kind of quest, but I like that they can break it up. Because think, like, you could leave it from one week to the next. You could leave it on a cliffhanger and you just can't wait to see what the next, you know, do the next part of that quest, you know, like think about the next vampire quest. Think about like how awesome that could be if it was broken up like that, how big it could be, how epic it could be. And like all the cliffhangers, you know, like it has a lot of potential like that, but I just have questions about like, how often is it going to be, and what happens with the capes?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That's a very good point. But I guess the answers will be revealed shortly, as we're only 5 days from December at the time of recording this. So it's not too big of a deal. I mean, it's a holiday quest. It's not going to take us too much time to do. But it'll be good.
Yeah.
And just as a note, they already do this on Star Trek Online, except each episode is out for a week. I mean, 3 weeks, and then the next one comes out. So you have 3 weeks to play through it. That's their timetable, rather than a week per. And it really moves the storyline along compared to what we were used to previously. Though, I mean, RuneScape isn't really known for moving storylines quickly, right?
Plague's End.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the entire storyline needs to be planned out beforehand, and I think it works good for that. But let's also not remember or not forget the kind of quest that we had in the past. So it's all going to depend on the kind of storyline that's designed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
All right. Well, thank you for the question, Titus and LaPearl. We enjoyed those questions, and hopefully you guys will be enjoying the quest when it comes out, because as you guys probably know, or you might not know, Colton and I are in a clan called Clan Quest, and, well, questing is what we do.
Correct.
So, enjoyable.
It's what we do.
Woo!
Yeah, it's the best part of RS for us. Quest Week.
Exactly.
So if you want to send questions in like these two did, just head on over to update.rsbnb.com/ask, and you can ask us your question. Or if you want to email it, goes to questions@rsbnb.com. And we do have the telephone number, which you can call. Leave us a voicemail or a text message, 571-572-2632. 571-57-BNB. All right, so on to tech news we go then. A couple of interesting things cropping up this week. Comcast has a TV service that they deliver through the internet, but not on the open internet. So basically, it's IPTV, except it doesn't count against your bandwidth. So the question here is, has Comcast found a loophole in the net neutrality legislation? What do you guys think? I mean, there's no right answer, so you can you can say whatever. But.
I personally don't know, because I'm not that so well-versed on that sort of a topic that I'm willing to really discuss that too openly.
All right, well, let me tell you what net neutrality is. It is basically designed to ensure that a packet, whether it's coming from Netflix, Facebook, or RSBNB, is treated fairly on the internet. That is, an ISP cannot prioritize one website or one service over another. That was passed back this past February. And the idea here is that Comcast could potentially elevate the priority of their traffic over the rest of the internet. Now, if this Comcast TV service was being transmitted over, you know, the standard internet where you get your Facebook, your Skype, and your YouTube, then that might be a problem if they were giving priority to this. But because it's not on the same network, it does offer them the ability to do that, potentially, though they haven't said they're going to do that. This is all highly speculative at this point in time, but it does highlight what happens when you bring in legislation that tries to say what can and can't be done with packets on the internet. You get things like this happening. Alternatively, if Comcast was really evil, some people say they are, they could be charging you for this TV access as a part of your internet plan. So that if you're watching TV, they could be saying, okay, you're watching X amount of TV a month. Well, we're going to take that away from your internet bandwidth, and we're going to charge you for that in addition to your subscriber fee. So that's the kind of can of worms that net neutrality has brought about. And this is why when net neutrality was proposed and brought into effect this past February, I said it was a bad idea to go with this kind of model going forward, which, I mean, obviously something like this has been found here, but it's not being used for ill yet.
I'm sure it will be. I mean, I just, I don't know. I don't believe in, if Comcast can find a way to get an extra buck, they're going to do it. I mean, I hope it does. I hope that doesn't happen. I really don't.
Oh, but, yeah, exactly. And, I mean, let's suppose some major TV show launches on this streaming service and, you know, they see a load on their network all of a sudden. What are they going to do? They're going to want to start charging for it. And because of net neutrality, they will have the reason to do that by saying that all packets are a part of this network. Therefore, we can charge for it. Which is what made the whole proposal very idiotic in the beginning. It was designed for good, but no one knew what the heck they were talking about. Lawmakers didn't know what they were getting, and, you know, the people at Google and Facebook who were proposing this had no idea what they were getting either. So, it's just a horrible thing. But
yeah.
I just hope that this is a sign that, you know, we're looking at a huge company here that is actually being, in the view of, you know, subscribers and whatnot, being lenient and being caring, which is a rarity, as people say, for Comcast.
I take it you don't have Comcast for your...
No, we don't have Comcast up here. So
yeah, that's right. You guys are like saying, no, they're neither one of those things. I have them, so I know. And the only reason I have them is they have really good internet. But otherwise, I would love to tell them to shove it, but you can't.
Exactly.
Really good internet.
Yep.
So I don't know. It's just all a mess, and different solution was needed. But neither side was smart enough to negotiate something better. Anyways, that's the net neutrality pendulum coming back to the beginning to hurt us all, potentially. But as I said, let's hope that Comcast is going to be a good little company, right?
Yeah, who knows?
One can hope.
So, we'll definitely be watching this one. Like, it says they're not going to, but can you guys really trust Comcast?
Not really.
Absolutely not. No. You can't. Like, you can call them and be like, hey, I'm going to cancel my subscription. Here, you know what? We're going to give you a deal for the next 12 months, and you're going to get all this stuff for $99, and we're even going to throw a phone in it. And you're going to get the bill the next month. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have the old plan that you had, and you're getting charged. It happened to me. And you're going to have to call 15 freaking times. Oh, I digress, but yeah, Comcast sucks. Just they got good product. What can you do?
And that's precisely why this story was so amusing to me, because it looked like Comcast was doing something good for a change. But we'll see.
We'll see.
Anyways, yeah. The Raspberry Pi folks are at it again. They're releasing a $5 computer called the Raspberry Pi Zero. Exactly.
It's insane.
This is a little computer, and I really do mean little. The PCB measures a grand total of, let's see, where are the dimensions here? They were here. 65 millimeters by 30 millimeters by 5 millimeters.
Huh.
Yep.
Interesting.
It's got a 1 gigahertz ARM 11 core processor. 512 megs of RAM, micro SD card, mini HDMI port for 1080p video, micro USB sockets for data and power, and a 40-pin GPIO connector, which is, of course, used to interact with all their sorts of pieces of hardware. And you can also add composite video if you so choose to. So this is a little computer that you could do practically anything with at this stage of the game. Wow. Could probably stream media, browse the web, but if you just need a thin client or something like that.
The real question, can I play RuneScape on it? I kid.
You know, in theory, you get the ARM version of something small like Zubuntu or Puppy Linux and install Java on it and then see where that goes. Though it probably doesn't have much for a 3D processor. So, probably not.
Still, it's neat. I mean,
yeah, and of course they're targeting the hobbyist group with this, so if you're at all interested in this kind of thing, you're going to pick that up. But the previous one was $35. So going down to $5, and just amazing what you can do with this. In a couple of years, you can be able to, you know, double or triple the amount of processing on something this size just because of how these processors are evolving. So very interesting, to say the least. I guess the question we could be asking going forward is, does it run Chronicle?
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Anyways, that's the Raspberry Pi Zero. Our final piece of tech news is a website that Google has put together that shows the requests to remove content in Europe, because it is something that, you know, is very important to the Europeans, and that is privacy in search, such that any country in the Eurozone could submit a request to Google to have a certain URL removed. So what you can do on this website is you can click and you can see requests removed for certain countries. So looking at the UK, there were 43,000 requests received to remove URLs, and there are total URLs that individuals with relationships to this country have requested Google to remove 162,559. So lots of URLs and lots of requests. And of these, they removed 38% of the URLs, and 61.9% were not removed. So then they give examples of the requests. So for example, in the UK, they removed a news story about a minor crime. The newspaper published a story about the removal, and the Information Commissioner's Office ordered Google to remove the second story from search results for the individual's name. We remove the page from the search results for the individual's name. And so on and so forth. And then, of course, you can also see by sites impacted. So 10,000 URLs removed from Facebook, 3,800 from Twitter, and so on and so forth. YouTube remove URLs removed as well. So it's interesting what Google does with this.
Yeah.
If Google can do this, in this case, I mean, this is kind of a little off base, but if they can, if they could remove a URL for that, and you've already said Twitter and Facebook, couldn't they just remove all of the ISIS social media, pound, done, in one swipe?
They could. They could. So could Twitter. Ah. So could Facebook.
Then, thanks, guys. That's a way to go.
Yep.
Wow.
They could. It's a question of false positives, really. And, you know, something that's definitely going to evolve going forward is how far is too much. I mean, the way I put it is, would Nazi propaganda being distributed in North America in World War II have been acceptable?
Yeah.
That's a question to ask. And same thing, if people were developing encryption schemes in World War II to help the Germans encrypt their communications, would the government be happy with that? We got to look at it in this lens, in that we're not living in such a clear time anymore that we were even just a couple years ago. So,
yeah,
we got to have that all in mind going forward. But anyways, so you can have a look at this website. It's the Google Transparency Report. They also got links pertaining to copyright, so you can see things that were removed as to copyright claims, and also what governments want removed. So, yeah, interesting stuff to see what Google's removing. So, all right, that's it for tech news. Let's move on.
Moving
to
along. Yeah, moving along to Skill of the Month for November of 2015. If you look there, the first few days, it really looked like Flash was going to start going for it. But right as Flash stopped, Parnassus began and has since then been gaining an average of 359K experience in defense every single day. And is running away with it. He looks to be the odds-on favorite for a winner. And so congratulations to Parnassus for gaining nearly, and probably today, it's at 9 million experience over the month in defense, and most likely winning the competition in second place. Flash, after he flatlined, has currently 3.13 million experience. And in third, we have Metalmaniac9 with just shy of a million experience. So, good job to everyone there. And also, the next Skill of the Month, we do know what it will be for December. It will be fletching. So, go ahead and sign up for that. Get your broad arrow heads and start fletching away for December.
People weren't happy about that.
Why?
I don't know.
It's a nice, it breaks from the combat, and fletching's a nice skill.
I agree.
Need to get 99 in that, so maybe I'll compete.
Do it.
Yeah.
So I guess we could say that Flash was just a flash in the pan then, right?
Rim shot.
Or a flash of lightning that flatlined himself, but we'll see, yeah. But anyways, Parnassius probably got this one.
Yeah.
In terms of something else this month that you guys should definitely take a look at, that is Lord Rickle's article in Informer entitled The Top 5 Classic Holiday and Seasonal Events in RuneScape. Mm-hmm. He goes through his list of five. I'm not going to spoil what number one is because it is just such a great event, but I think if you use your brain, you can tell what number one will be based on what number two is. So, but definitely give that a read at informer.rsbnb.com. And this is Lord Rickle's last Informer article. He has informed us that he will be leaving to pursue other ventures with that. So we thank him for everything that he's written for us and all the great discussions we've had with him and whatnot going way back. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Lord Rickles, for this. Definitely give this
you will be missed, Lord Rickles, but we appreciate all that you've done for the site and all the articles you've written. So yeah. This is a beautiful parting article. It's very well written, and suggest it to anyone out there who
that's what I said. This is a model article of what Informer articles should look like. I hope you guys are paying attention here, both of you being Informer writers.
Uh-huh. I see how it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to have pictures and you got to have interesting things that lead the users and readers in and whatnot going forward. So there's some tips for you guys in here. But
exactly.
Anyways, thank you, Lord Rickles, once again.
Yes, thanks, Lord Rickles, and hope the best, and you get to accomplish all of your goals and future endeavors. All right, so achievements of the week. We have Colton with 99 thieving on November 25th. Good job, Colton.
Man, who's that guy? Gosh, I haven't seen
him. That's you. You got this just for the podcast.
It was me. Yes. I actually didn't intend to. It was sort of a happy accident, I guess. So, yeah. Hooray. Another 99, another skill I can't visibly train. And I shed another tear as I move on to the next.
That is exactly how I feel. And the only reason I got 99 thieving is because I need to thieve the elves for blue dragon scale dust.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and is next. That for your 120 herb lore?
Yes, it is.
Aha, uh-huh. I see. Interesting. Yep.
So there was a reason to get it after all, but how'd you end up getting yours?
Elf City. I was the last elf of course. Pickpocketed. I think I was in I was in Cruis. That's where I was. Yeah. It is OP, but it's just so nice. Like, if I'm just wanting to chill and watch YouTube videos or something, I'll just flick on my crystal mask and every 3 or 4 minutes have to renew that and just watch to see when they notice me. It's pretty nice.
All right. Well, December's coming, or is it almost here as you're listening to this, and for anyone who's been listening to the podcast for any number of years knows what December means, and that means it is time for the annual RSBNB update clip show. Yes, you guys enjoy that as much as I do.
It's fun. Oh, yeah. It's cool.
Yes,
it's cool. You almost, especially as a listener, because when I'm not hosting, I listen, and it's interesting because you connect certain clips of audio with certain memories. As long as they were in the show, you And so if I hear them on the clip show, it'll be like, oh yeah, that's what I was doing when I heard that. And that kind of thing. It just sort of brings you back through the whole year, not only through RSBNB, but also through, you know, how you have gone through your life for the year. So it's a really neat experience.
I think my favorite part is Earth Uncensored.
Oh my. It'll be a good one this year.
It certainly will, but as you guys know, I keep clips as we go through the year, but we do want your clips as well. So if you have one that you want to send in, just head on over to update.rsbnb.com/clips, and you can fill out the form we have there. We ask for the episode number, a time index, and for you to describe the clip as to why we should include it. And of course, your form name, RuneScape name, Twitter handle, whatever you want to give us in case you want to shout out us that you sent this clip in. And, you know, the clip show does come out on New Year's Eve, so we got about a month to sort this all through. But we look forward to seeing what you have. And, you know, there's clips that are in the show and there are clips that are not in the show. And they're always very interesting, especially the pre and post show ones. So I got a couple of those for you guys this year. All right. Update.rsbaby.com/clips.
Yeah.
So pick of the week, tennis. What could that be?
Could it be anything else? Chronicle.
We discussed this game quite in detail, well, as much as in detail as we can right now earlier, and we all really love this game, and so, I mean, it's just an inevitable pick. So if you guys out there haven't registered for a key yet, you can still do so. Just go to their website. What's it? rschronicle.com? I believe that is
the
domain.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Yeah, rschronicle.com. Just go there, register your email address. The key that I got is actually from the kindness of Shane's heart, because apparently I'm not special enough and still have not received my keys. So I may be receiving 4 that I don't need here soon enough. So if you see me in game, shoot me a message. Shoot me a message on the forums if you want a key, that kind of stuff. I'd be willing to just hand out the four once I do get them. So, yeah, much recommended. We'll lose our progress at the end of the beta, but it's worth it to sort of get a feel for what it is. And it's valuable feedback for Jagex if you actually go through and give them feedback on their forums at, again, rschronicle.com. So check it out, guys.
Yep, and I strongly encourage you to do the same. You know, it's been discussed on the show, it's been discussed in articles before about how not to do a beta, and I think they're doing this one right, even though they didn't give me a key either. Thank you, Shane.
Yep.
I was getting a little worried about that. As you're listening to this, I am probably live on stream right now, so check out Tannis79 at Twitch, and maybe, hopefully, I will have a key to give out.
Indeed. And if you guys need keys by the time you're hearing this and you haven't got them so far, you can contact me. I have a number that we can give out to RSBNB Update listeners from courtesy of Jagex. So that is a possibility as well. All right. So what have we been doing? Let's start with you, Colton.
First of all, if you guys can't tell, I mean, in real life, my voice is a little bit off. It's not as bad as it was earlier today and yesterday, but I've, just as, you know, Thanksgiving break hits here at university, I get sick. So that's always fun. But, other than being sick, I've been slowly on RuneScape, been chunking away at Questmaster Cape requirements, and it looks as though the cape is going to be coming out before I have every single requirement, so that's a little disappointing, because I kind of wanted to get it on release, but, you know, whatever, can't always get what you want. Other than that, just been...
Well, at least then you have something to work towards.
Yeah, exactly. I've got more things to do, but today's Thanksgiving, and, you know, obviously, before recording the show, I was at a family gathering, and so spending time with family as is recommended and necessity for a healthy life. Yeah.
All right.
So that's what I've... Yeah.
And Tanis?
I've actually been on a little break, but I came and started playing again this week, and so I did some Mammoth, and that sucked, and I've just been doing thieving and Prif, and I forgot how awesome it is. It's so good, and I just stack everything on it, you know, exoskeleton, five-finger discount, crystal mask, just bring it. I'm just turning them over and, like, shaking them, just shaking all the lint out their pockets, you know, so it's been a good time. And other than that, I've been playing a little bit of Fishing Planet and The Hunter.
All right. And you do have an Informer article coming out on, did we set that to the 28th? You wanted it to come out?
I believe it was, yes, it should be Saturday.
Okay.
Or I'm due Saturday, so I don't know when it comes out from there.
Okay, Sunday then, Sunday. But yeah. We'll put a special rush on that since that's about Chronicle as well, I assume.
Yes.
So lots of RS Chronicle coming, even on Informer. So thank you, Tanis, for that. As for me this week on RS, just training Herblore. You know, you have a realization that when you're training Herblore and it initially comes out that in the past, you trained it without bank presets and how much clicking there was to do. Now, with bank presets, you just push a button and away you go. It's kind of boring. You guys think? Yes?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't trained, you know, I like the ease of it because I'm doing it basically for, you know, overloads or crystal potion, you know, stuff that I'm like using. So I might make a batch of 100 or so, but, yeah, I guess there's some nostalgia to the way it used to be, but at the same time, would I ever want to do that again? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it saves your fingers and whatnot, but I mean, that's just something I realized and remembered because last time I really had a long session of training Herblore was when I went for the 99, and that was before Make X and before the new interfaces that came out. So back then, you actually had to click on each individual vial to make the potion. So whether that was bad,
I remember that.
But it did give you something to do rather than just, you know, staring at the screen. So, but aside from that, just keeping up with the herb farming, got 105 million farming XP. So,
It's still, he's still doing it. Is there a 200 mil in the future?
No.
Can't stop, won't stop.
No, there is no 200 mil farming XP in the future because then you stop getting experience and that would be very bad. That would be very bad.
I getcha. Yeah.
You could troll it with like 199, 99, 99, 99,
whatever. No. I mean, like the furthest I'd take it ever would be probably 180.
Yeah.
Because of all the accidental XP, you never know.
Yeah, that's right. But anyways, we've just crossed over the two-hour threshold, so that means it's time to go. So thank you both of you for coming on and discussing Mammoths and Chronicle and whatever else came up this week.
Can I say one last thing? Just
please do.
Just really quickly, I just wanted to say that, I mean, today we are recording and it's Thanksgiving, and I just wanted to say just how much we want to thank you, the listeners, and we really do just appreciate everyone that interacts with the community. It's so awesome that we're able to not only play the game that we play, but to be in a community and to get to know people on the site and otherwise. And also just wanted to say that whether you live in the U.S. or not, just the fact that you're listening to this show right now indicates that you are at a level of wealth that most of the world doesn't have. And just wanted to say that maybe take a moment this weekend to really think about what we've been blessed with and just how fortunate we really are to live where we live and to have what we have. So kiss your mom and dad if you have them around, and if not, you know, be thankful for what you have. And just happy Thanksgiving to everyone, you know.
Thank you, Colton, for those words. I couldn't have said that better myself. But with that being said, this has been RSBNB Update with Colton.
Woo, that's me.
And Tanis. We will see you guys all next week for another great episode. And thank you for sharing your time with us. And find us on Twitter at RSBNB Staff.
Farewell.
See ya.